Bow, bow, wow, bow, bow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, today's the day that we talk about Scientology. And you know what? I got to tell you, I'm quite torn. By the way, there's all kinds of breaking news today about Sandra Day O'Connor leaving the Supreme Court. Bush is speaking on it, yada, yada, yada. We're going to let the news handle it. We'll digest it and get back to you on and what it means. Honestly, I'm in three day holiday weekend mode, and because I know the blabbering and the left and the right, all that arguing is coming, and it's going to be endless. I'm going to push it off an extra day. We're going to get into the Scientology thing. If you miss any of this show today and you want to hear it, you can download it at glennbeck.com. You can even put it on your iPod with podcasting just to sign up to become an insider at glennbeck.com. Okay. Scientology. I'm torn. I've talked to the Scientologist and had them on the show before out of Clearwater, Florida. Very nice. They were very, very pleasant. It was quite an ordeal to have them on. We had to have an attorney on with them, and they were silent the whole time. I had to have, I think, a PR person on, and there was somebody else that was also a silent partner on the phone at the time. It was a very weird interview, but they were very nice. And they answered a lot of my questions. They would not get into the whole space stuff and the space aliens. It is my understanding that that is a big part of the religion. Tom Cruise even denies that, I don't even know what you're talking about. We wanted to get into this. They won't even address it. They won't confirm nor deny. They just say we're not even going down that road. So I wanted to get a different point of view. Now, this is why I'm torn. I happen to be a member of a faith that is dragged through the mud all the time. And things that are said about my faith that happen in my faith's temples are ridiculous. I mean, laughable. But you hear about things, and you're like, and I remember before I joined my faith, I was like, well, so what? You know, I've heard this and this and this. And, you know, you're just like, no, that's not true. You're reading this on the internet, etc. I know that you can find stuff on the internet that is so far away from the truth that it's ridiculous. It's frightening. It's frightening how things can not only be twisted, but made up holy and then taken as fact. So I'm torn because Scientology, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the internet that looks unbelievably horrific, and maybe it's not true. I don't know. I'm not a Scientologist. I'm not going to become a Scientologist. I'm not going to go into one of their meetings or anything else. I just like somebody to speak the plain truth to me. Now, I have a guy on the phone. There's two things. I've said to you all week, if you're a Scientologist, you please call in, and if this guy says something that is not true, call him on the carpet. I just got an email from somebody at the Church of Scientology in Washington, D.C. Dear Mr. Beck, I heard that David Turetsky is going to be on the show today regarding the Church of Scientology. I'd like to have the opportunity to go on with him and refute some of the ridiculous claims. That's absolutely fine. We'll do it in about a half hour. I'm surprised that you are running with the liberal media to beat up on Tom Cruise for his statements about overdrugging his kids. No, I'm not beating up on Tom Cruise. I don't know if you saw the New York Times today, the op-ed piece from Brooke Shields. She's beating up on Tom Cruise. I'm not. I think the guy is, I think the guy is wrong on some things about psychology and psychiatric drugs. He's right in other ways. So I'm not beating up on him. You owe it to your listeners for both sides of the issue. Absolutely care to do that and want to do that. This guy is a professor at Carnegie Mellon, and his name is David Turetsky. And what makes you an expert, David, on Scientology?
I've been studying Scientology for 10 years, Glenn. I got interested in them back in 1995 when Scientology was acting to censor critical postings about them on the internet. They were canceling people's messages. And that attracted my curiosity, so I went over to this Usenet discussion group called Alt Religion Scientology and just started reading. And just as I got there, someone posted a court document, and they said, you'd better get this quickly because Scientology is going to cancel this message in a few hours. And so I decided I would do an experiment. I downloaded the message and turned it into a web page, and I posted a little message saying, you can read this court document at this website at Carnegie Mellon. And I went home and went to sleep. And all hell broke loose. The Scientologists phoned, faxed, and FedExed the university saying they were going to sue Carnegie Mellon and me personally if I didn't take this file down immediately.
It was an actual document from a court
document filed in the Los Angeles court as part of a lawsuit that Scientology had filed a lawsuit against a guy named Stephen Fishman. And Fishman's attorney had very cleverly filed an exhibit in this lawsuit, and this exhibit was the thing that I had webbed. And it turns out, I didn't understand at the time, that in this exhibit was the secret of the universe, the big secret that you have to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to Scientology to learn, mm-hmm. and that is the secret of Xenu, the evil space alien. And I know that you're already familiar with that name.
Yeah. They deny this, do they not?
No, they don't. It depends on who you talk to. So they have several responses to the Xenu thing. The most common response is to say, I never heard of this. By the way, they won't say the word Xenu. If you say, you know, tell me about Xenu and space aliens, they'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. But they won't actually say Xenu. They can, but they try to avoid saying it.
So if I get this lady on in a half hour and I say the word Xenu.
She won't do it. Now, this is Sylvia Stannard in D.C. And Sylvia, she is a longtime Scientologist, and she is also what's called the DSA.
Let's not talk about her. Let's talk about Scientology.
Sure. Okay.
Tell me.
The other response, Glenn,
yeah.
when they don't deny it, the response that Sylvia gives is to say, oh, that's only a small part of our religion, only a small part of our beliefs.
Okay, well, tell me, I mean, from everything that I've heard about Xenu and the space aliens, even if it is a small part, it's a pretty wild part. And I can't imagine that if you're trying to clear the past lives, how this could possibly be a small part, because this is the reason why we're all scarred, right?
Yeah, Xenu is the reason that you're a sick, twisted freak.
Okay. All right. What? By the way, is it true you're a liberal? Is it true that you're like an on-fire liberal?
Not at all. Actually, I'm a registered Republican.
Are you really? Oh, good for you. And you're a professor. That's nuts. All right. David, tell me the whole story of Xenu.
Sure. So according to L. Ron Hubbard, Xenu was the head of the Galactic Federation 75 million years ago. And he solved an overpopulation problem by collecting people from the 76 planets that made up the Federation, shipping them to Earth, and then annihilating them by placing them on volcanoes and detonating hydrogen bombs above them. And he then gathered up the spirits, since the bodies were vaporized by the bombs, he gathered up the spirits, which they call thetans, using an electronic device and subjected them to 36 days of brainwashing, so that they would forget who they were and what they were.
Okay, so Earth is kind of like Australia.
Yes, Earth was called Piggyack back then, and it was a prison planet.
Okay.
And so all these folks were brought here, they were vaporized, brainwashed, and then dumped here on Piggyack. And this is 75 million years ago, right? So there's dinosaurs running around.
Okay.
And then human beings evolved much later. You know, Homo sapiens is only thought to be about 400,000 years old. And so when the human race evolved, these disembodied alien spirits attach themselves to us. And so they're called body thetans because they believe that they're parts of our body and they're attached to our body.
Okay, and that's why you clear. Now, tell me if you are a guy who's, you know, says walks in and says, hey, I want to learn more about Scientology, tell me what happens to you.
Well, they sure don't tell you about the space aliens.
Okay.
L. Ron Hubbard's genius was in figuring out a way to get a normal, intelligent person to the point where they could believe in the space aliens. And so it's this gradual progression that's really fascinating. It starts with Dianetics, which is Hubbard's self-help quack psychotherapy book that he published in 1950. And in Dianetics, what you're taught is that every painful experience you ever had, beginning from the moment of conception, is recorded in your reactive mind, which is Hubbard's term for the subconscious. And what you learn to do in Dianetics is you go into a kind of a light hypnotic trance. Hubbard called it Dianetic reverie, and Scientology denies that it's hypnosis, but if you know anything about hypnosis, you'll see that it's the same thing. And so in this light trance, you are recalling painful memories from your past, and the thought is that by going over these things, you erase them from your reactive mind.
Okay, let me tell you something. David, I don't think that that sounds nuts. I mean, I know somebody right now who's going through one of the most painful times of their life, and what they're doing is they're going to see psychiatrists that are taking them through their childhood, and they are having to visualize what happened to them and work through it from there. I mean, to be able to go back and look at your life and really examine it actually sounds like a good idea to me.
Well, it is a good idea, especially if it's done with a trained therapist, if it's done with an amateur who doesn't know what he's doing, and if it's done using hypnosis.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here. I don't know if you've seen the Church of Scientology. They seem to have some cash. Why would they not have trained personnel helping do that?
Well, they're trained in Scientology. They're not trained in any kind of medical science or any kind of psychological science. They're trained in Hubbard's quackery. They're highly trained in that, but that stuff is not validated. You know, the techniques that psychologists use are constantly tested, evaluated, refined. Things that don't work are discarded. In Scientology, the whole goal is to do everything the way Hubbard said to do it. It's not to do it the best way, it's to do it Hubbard's way. And Hubbard was a crank.
Okay, so how do they clear you of these things?
Well, so in Dianetics, by recalling these painful memories, supposedly just the act of recalling them, bringing them up into the consciousness, causes them to be erased. And so far, you know, it's just sort of amateur psychotherapy, maybe not that dangerous. But the next thing you learn is that you are an immortal spirit who have lived thousands of past lives. Reincarnation is something that Scientology does admit to. And now you need therapy for all the bad stuff that happened in all your past lives, too. And by the way, the price keeps going up. So as you go higher and higher in Scientology, you pay higher and higher prices for these services.
Okay, who are you paying? Is this like tithing and, you know, I cannot pay, but I still get the help? Or do you have to pay for these?
No, you have to pay for the service. So this kind of counseling they do is called auditing. And you pay by the hour for this stuff. It's not free.
Okay.
In Scientology,
what is it? Let me ask you this: what is the thing that you hold on to? You hold on to these two little bars, and then it's hooked up to a machine, and it shows you where your blockage is.
Yeah, right. They have this device called an e-meter. It's short for electropsychometer, which is basically a very crude kind of lie detector. The electrodes that you hold in your hand are just used to make an electrical circuit between your body and the machine, and the machine is measuring skin resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike a real lie detector, this thing is subject to all kinds of artifacts, because if you just move your hands or any slight tremor in your hands is going to affect the amount of skin contacting the electrode surface, and therefore it'll change the resistance. But they use this e-meter sort of like someone reading chicken entrails. You know, they look at this needle. There's a big needle on the dial, and they tell you to think of something. And if the needle moves, that means that they've contacted an engram. Or at the more advanced levels, that means they've contacted a space alien. So it's all part of the ritual and the rigmarole that Hubbard invented. That it's got nothing to do with science, and it's simply a big scam.
They say that you can be a Christian, you can believe in God, and this fits with all of that. But I have received a ton of mail from people who say, not true. I know I have a boyfriend that was in it or whatever. And once you start going down this road, they, you know, announce to you that God doesn't exist. There is no God. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. First of all, I should point out that belief in reincarnation is considered heresy by most Christian denominations.
I'm not necessarily talking. Okay, let's talk. You can talk Christian, but also, my understanding is that God does not exist.
Well, what Hubbard taught was that our modern religious notions of angels, the devil, God, the man on the cross, that all of those things were part of the brainwashing that Xenu installed in all of us after he blew us up on the volcanoes. So there are some lectures of L. Ron Hubbard, and the church doesn't publicize this. They try and keep the crazier stuff quiet. But there are lectures where Hubbard says that. The man on the cross, there was no Christ. He says it's all part of the R6 bank, which is his term for all the nonsense that was planted into our heads by Xenu's henchmen, who, by the way, were psychiatrists. Xenu employed psychiatrists to do this brainwashing. And Scientology's antipathy towards psychiatry is in part because they believe that modern psychiatry is just a continuation of this multi-billion-year plot by these evil alien psychiatrists.
Okay, so this is the history. When Tom Cruise says, I know the history of psychiatry, he's taking it back all the way to Xenu?
Oh, yeah, way before Sigmund Freud. He's going back to the Galactic Federation. That's what Tom knows. He doesn't read modern.
Is that so? Is that why he says, when you say, what is the history of psychiatry, he doesn't go, he just keeps saying, I know the history and you don't?
Yeah, well, that's typical Scientology. They don't want to discuss details. They don't want to get into the substance. Their only goal is to get you signed up on course doing Scientology. They don't want to discuss it with you. They want you to participate.
Okay. Lisa McPherson, I believe was her name. I think this is the woman that was killed in St. Petersburg, right?
In Clearwater, yeah.
In Clearwater, I'm sorry. Yeah, she was clear. And this happened when I was in Tampa years ago. And this is what first brought Scientology to my mind, because it was a weird situation. I want to talk to you about that, because some say that you're held against your will in some of these clearing centers. That when you join, you, and I don't know if this is true, and we'll ask you here in a second, that you actually have to sign a clause relinquishing rights to you, that they can hold you against your will at some point if they want to clear you. She died because of it, and we'll get into that here in just a second. First, let me tell you about Select Comfort. Select Comfort is the bed that I sleep on. It is just the most comfortable bed you can imagine, because it's custom made for you. It's custom made for you by you. You could change it every night if you're Goldilocks and the free. She would only have to go in one bed. This is too hard. Now it's too soft. Now it's just right. One bed. No matter how you like it, it's the sleep number bed by Select Comfort. The great thing about the Select Comfort bed is once you find your sleep number, you set it, and you've just never had a better night's sleep, and your body feels better. Meanwhile, the significant other that you're sleeping with, they do it to their side of the bed, and they sleep in total comfort. I want you to try this bed out for 30 nights. Put it in your house for 30 nights. If it's not everything I say it is, it's not the best bed you've ever slept on, ship it back, no questions asked. 800-781-2000. Call 800-781-2000 for Select Comfort. 1-800-781-2000. Sandra Day O'Connor has resigned. We'll give you full details on that coming up in just a few minutes. It's going to be a very long summer as we look for possibly now two Supreme Court justices. Oh, thank goodness George Bush is our president. Let me ask you this, David. And I tell you what. I want to ask you, because this is going to be a short break, and I want to get into the Lisa clause here for a second. But if this was really all just about money, why put the alien thing in there? Why not just, you know, bilk people for the, you know, for the Dianetic stuff? Why not just really go after that? Why insert the aliens?
Well, the problem Hubbard had is that he made all these great claims for Dianetics. Dianetics just by itself was supposed to give you perfect memory. You wouldn't need glasses. You'd never get colds. You'd become a super person. And so the end of Dianetics is supposed to go clear. Is supposed to be when you go clear. You've erased all your engrams. And people eventually went clear. They were declared, certified clear by Hubbard, and they didn't have any of these great benefits. So what they had to do is invent higher levels above clear. And so then they got these past life recall stuff, and they said you have to erase all the bad memories from your past lives too. And then, you know, eventually people got through all that, and they still didn't have any of these superpowers. And so what's next? And so what Hubbard came up with was this idea that all our problems are because we're infested with the spirits of these space aliens that Xenu murdered. So we have a kind of spiritual life. The term he uses, body thetans. These are the thetans who've attached themselves to our bodies and think they're part of our bodies. And what Hubbard teaches at the most advanced levels of Scientology, which is what Tom Cruise and John Travolta and Kirstie Alley are doing right now, is to make telepathic contact with these body thetans and remove them. And so it's a kind of self-exorcism. It's really a kind of mental self-abuse that these folks go through.
Okay. All right. David, hang on just a second. We're going to introduce here in a second. I've got a couple more questions for David, and then we're going to give the Church of Scientology a chance to refute some of the things that David has just said. If you miss any part of the program, you can become an insider today and download it, and you can do the podcasting, et cetera, however it's convenient for you to listen to the show at glennbeck.com. Also, today is the last day that you can sign up and get the rights and responsibility issue. It's the next issue of Fusion Magazine. It's a tremendous issue. You're going to love it, and you're going to laugh really, really hard. And you'll even learn something. Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. Today's the last day you can sign up and get that issue. If you want to do it, you got to do it now at glennbeck.com or call 888-GLENN-BECK. That's 888-GLENN-BECK. Order Fusion today. You know, this one reason why I'm very, very careful about calling anybody's faith a sham. And I don't think I've done that. I've told you that there's enough stuff about Scientology that makes me nervous. There's enough stuff that it just strikes me as, dangerous. However, I don't really know. I'm going to different people, and I'm going to welcome the people from Scientology on, and I have had them do a solid hour themselves. The only reason why they're not doing it this time is because we've already gone down that road, and B, they didn't answer some of the questions that I wanted answered. So we go to a guy. Now, this guy is admittedly anti-Scientology. The reason why I'm so very careful to not call anybody's religion a sham is because of this. I just got this email. Glenn Beck, you on this all capital letters. You are a liar. Your faith is a lie. You are the propagator of lies. Your basis of faith is built on the basis of a criminal. The guy who started My Faith was arrested for what he believed in. That was what made him a criminal. Why don't you let your listeners know about your belief of Mary and God and Jesus's creation? Okay, here it is. Mary was a virgin that gave birth to Jesus, the Son of God. I know that's crazy, but that's what I believe in. You, sir, are a member of a cult. Only through reading the real Bible, you will see the truth. I have the King James Version. That's the one the church that I go to says that we should read. I don't even have the New American Standard. We want the King James Version. I don't know what Bible I'm supposed to read, but that's it. So I'm very, very concerned because my faith has always run through the mud. And I get it, and I understand it, and I was one of them who used to run it through the mud, honestly. I was a guy who went, these people are nuts. And so I get it. You know, you do your own homework. You want to find out what Scientology is really all about? Do your own homework. I try to be honest about it. We have David Turetsky on the phone with us. He is a professor at Carnegie Mellon and a guy who has done his homework on Scientology. The Scientologists do not agree with his findings. But I will tell you that a lot of people are very afraid of the Church of Scientology. I know when I first went down to Tampa, there was a woman named Lisa McPherson. And you're going to have to refresh me on the details, David. It's been a while. But when I first went down to Tampa, she was in the news. She had been she died while at one of these clearing centers. And I was told in no uncertain terms when I first got there, do not talk about this. It's just a nightmare. The Church of Scientology, very, very powerful, blah, blah, blah. Just leave it alone. There's no good that's going to come up. And I talked about it and wanted to know what the heck was going on. And it was a very odd situation. Can you real quick refresh my memory and everybody else's memory on Lisa McPherson?
Sure. Lisa McPherson was a Scientologist who had recently gone clear. Discovered that Scientology just wasn't working for her. She devoted 18 years of her life to it. She wanted to leave. She suffered a mental breakdown and was taken to the emergency room at Morton Plant Hospital for a psychiatric evaluation. Scientology came to the hospital, removed her from the hospital, took her back to their headquarters, which they call FLAG in Clearwater, held her against her will, forcibly drugged her using liquid Valium and chloral hydrate, and eventually she died of the side effects of severe dehydration. She went psychotic, probably because of the chloral hydrate overdose. That's a side effect of chloral hydrate if it's given in too high dosage. So she wasn't eating, she was throwing up, she was babbling incoherently, and eventually the dehydration caused her death.
How did they have the right to go get her?
Well, originally they convinced her to leave the hospital with them. So she didn't leave the hospital against her will, but once they were holding her, they wouldn't let her out. She did want to leave.
How do you know that?
Well, the Scientologists kept careful logs of what they did to her. And the last 3 days of those 17 days of logs mysteriously disappeared. But the first 14 days were turned over to the Clearwater Police, and they're now available on the web. And the details of what they did to her are horrifying, but they're spelled out. They're quite explicit what they did to her.
Give me just highlights.
Oh, well, they force-fed her with a turkey baster. They wanted to get this sedatives into her, and so they held her mouth open and used a turkey baster to squirt the stuff down her throat. They thought because she was psychotic from the chlorohydrate, they thought that what they could do is they could give her aspirin, which should block the recall of engrams. These are the things that Dianetics is supposed to erase. So they gave her aspirin to try and cure her psychosis. They were feeding her. They tried to get her to drink protein shakes before she totally lost it and wouldn't eat anything. And they were actually billing her, so they were charging her for all these services while they're holding her. And at one point, her account ran out of money, and so they got her roommate to forge a check so that they would have more money so that they could bill her for additional supplies. It's just unbelievable all the things that they did to her, and this did result in criminal charges being filed against Scientology, but Scientology got to the medical examiner. They harassed her, they blackmailed her, Joan Wood is her name, and as a result, they forced her to alter her findings, and she became such
an unreliable witness. What evidence do you have of that?
People who were interviewed, Florida Department of Law Enforcement folks who were interviewed, Wood's own testimony at, there was a civil case as well, and there's testimony in the civil case where it came to light that Wood wrote to one of her colleagues about how the Scientologists were harassing her, that they'd uncovered something very damaging in her personal life.
Okay. All right. David, I'm gonna put you on hold, and we have Sylvia Stannard. You have spoken to her before?
We've met, yes.
Okay. You guys get along? Can you guys not yell at each other? Is that possible?
I never yell.
We have Sylvia Stannard, and I don't want to get this in. I don't want to have everybody talking over each other, et cetera, et cetera. I want to know what she refutes, and I specifically want to know, you stand by everything you say about space aliens and all of that stuff.
Yeah, but don't take my word for it. It's all on the web. You can read the original documents.
A lot of things are on the web. Where is it on the web?
One place you can see it is xenu.net, xenu.net.
Okay. So we're gonna have her on, and I specifically want to talk about the aliens and Xenu and everything else. We'll rejoin with her and you, David Turetsky, here in just a moment. Stand by. Here's our number, 888-727-BECK. All right, let's go to, you know, I'm going to leave David on hold for a minute. I want Sylvia to have an opportunity to correct the record, anything that David has said here. And I want to ask specific questions, and I want to hear her side without anybody else having the opportunity to interrupt, not that David would. Welcome to Sylvia Stannard. You are with the Church of Scientology in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Great. Let me just ask you a couple of questions, Sylvia. First of all, Xenu, tell me about him.
Part of our religious belief is that we don't talk about past lives. We do believe in past lives, but as far as what you've experienced or what you've encountered when you have had counseling is something that we don't talk about. It's actually part of our scripture to not talk about it, so I don't really particularly talk about that issue. But the thing is that he's got it completely absolutely.
Okay, hold on. Wait. I want, and I will let you say that in here a second. I just want to make sure I understand. So does Xenu exist?
If somebody has experienced that in counseling, then that's real to them, then it would exist. But
do you believe that there was a space alien system that came to Earth with the volcanoes, et cetera, et cetera?
I believe that things have happened in the past that have been really harmful to people.
I understand that. Sylvia, please don't. please don't play this game. I'm going to be very, very specific with you. I know that we can play little semantic games because I play them as well. Let's be very specific. You know what I'm asking. Let's have an answer here.
I believe that has happened, but that is not a religious belief of the Church of Scientology. It's an individual thing of what has happened to individuals or not.
Okay, where
and
would
it is one thing out of millions of years. Because the thing that's important to understand, because what is happening is he's taking one little tiny thing. It's like saying all Christians believe you should go around and poke out people's eyes and
well,
and
no, that's not that's not true. But Sylvia, well, let me ask you. Then I want to talk to you.
An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's the same thing. To narrow everything down to one little tiny thing and say that's what we believe is completely.
That's okay. I understand that. And that's fair. Then let's do this, because you say that there's no scripture that tells you about Xenu, but it's the individual. You believe it, so you have experienced Xenu.
No, but if that's what's happened in the past, then that would be real to me.
Right, but how do you know? What I'm asking you, if nobody at Scientology is teaching you about Xenu, I got news for you. I could go for a billion years without somebody telling me about Xenu and the volcanoes, et cetera,
right.
And I doubt I would come up with that. So if it's not part of it, and it is something that is seemingly common for other people to have that experience, is nobody while you're, you know, going through these sessions, is anybody saying, did you see Xenu?
No, not specifically. No, it's individual thing. You might read something or not, and then whether you experience that and it's real for you is an individual thing. But what I'm trying to tell you is that it's completely, utterly out of context. And you're saying that's what Scientology believes when it isn't. Scientology believes that we are immortal spiritual beings and that you can get better, and there's a lot of things about Scientology, and that's not talked about at all. And
I think we have talked about that. I mean, I got your letter that, quite frankly, I thought was a little too curt, but that's all right. And you say that I was joining with the liberal media to beat up Tom Cruise for his statements about overdrugging kids. That's not true at all. I, in fact, said that I think a lot of people are overprescribed. I think a lot of people, in fact, this is exactly what I said. I think Tom Cruise had a point that prescription drugs are used to mask a problem, and that's not the real problem. So, you know, if you want to talk about twisting words, there it is. Let me ask you this. He keeps talking about the history of psychiatry.
Yeah, that's completely ridiculous. That he just invented that. That is not at all what we believe. When Tom Cruise was talking about the history of psychiatry, he's talking about things like shock treatment being invented because somebody saw a pig being slaughtered. And that's what he's talking about, the history of psychiatry. It's not.
It has nothing to do with the history of psychiatry. Does not go back.
No,
a million years.
Psychiatry started in the 1840s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's when it started. But there's several other things that I wanted to bring up because he really just, there's a lot of just false things that he said, and I got the chance to refute them.
Go for it.
Good. So first off, the Lisa McPherson case, that was a very unfortunate situation, mm-hmm. and she died of a pulmonary embolism, which is actually the leading cause of death, even in hospitals. It's not something that's easily found and easily known about, and people in hospitals die of this all the time. She was actually in the hospital for 8 hours and had all kinds of tests, and they didn't find it. She signed herself out, and her roommate, the thing of her roommate was her boyfriend that she lived with for several years. I mean, they weren't married, but they were a committed relationship. Her boyfriend and a couple of other people are the ones who signed her out. They weren't staff of the church. They actually went with her. She didn't want to be there anymore. She'd already been there for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing else happening. She was mm-hmm. already having a psychotic break at that time. Mm-hmm. She was being very strange.
Was she held against her will?
No. At the end, when she was really psychotic, yeah, a few times she was prevented from running out in the street, but she actually wanted to come to the church. And what's also not talked about is that because of that very unfortunate case, there's been a lot of policy changes in the church, and people cannot, if there is somebody who's being psychotic or having problems, they're not allowed to even come to the church anymore. They have to go to a hospital. They have to go to some place where they can be quiet or be taken care of and not be on church premises.
Okay, what else did he say? Because I'm up against the clock here. What else did he say that you disagree with?
Well, he also said that you have to pay for everything, and that's absolutely not true. Many of our services are free. Yes, there's some things you have to pay for.
But I want to become – here's the deal that I've read. If I want to go to what I think it's OT level, OT level 3, it's going to cost me about $300,000.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely
I could get that for free?
You can if you are a staff member. There's many different ways that it can be done. It can be awarded to you. If you work for the church, it's all free. There are many different ways, and there are a lot of volunteer minister activities, a lot of counseling that's completely free and done all the time. So to say that everybody has to pay for everything is just not at all true.
Okay, so, but generally speaking, if I don't want to work for the church, et cetera, is it about $300,000 to get OT3?
No. No.
How much is it?
If you go the luxury route and stay in a hotel the whole time and all that kind of stuff, maybe. But it depends on how much time it takes you to do it, and it probably would be several thousands of dollars, but not $300,000.
What else did he say?
That we believe that God does not exist. That is completely, completely untrue.
I will tell you this, Sandra, that I've heard both. I've heard that Scientologists have written me and said, oh, yeah, we believe in God. But then I've heard from people who have left Scientology who said, and believe me, I mean, my faith, you know, the last people you listen to are the people that were disgruntled and left. So, I mean, I get it. But people who left said, you get to a certain level and, you know, God does not exist anymore. It can't in the system that is preached.
Well, can I just read you what Mr. Hubbard says about that?
Sure.
He says, no culture in the history of the world save the thoroughly depraved and aspiring ones have failed to affirm the existence of a supreme being. It is an empirical observation that men without a strong and lasting faith in a supreme being are less capable, less ethical, and less valuable to themselves and society. A government wishing to deprave its people to the point where they will accept the most perfidious and rotten acts abolishes first the concept of God, and in the wake of that destroys the family.
Okay, great. Okay, absolutely. Great. Okay, I'm going to take a break because I want to have at least 2 minutes with the two of you on together. So I'll let David answer what you just charged and vice versa. You can ask him directly. We'll have about 2 minutes on the other side of the break. Stand by. David Turetsky and also Sylvia Stannard from the Church of Scientology. I'm sorry, I'm just looking up at the clock, and I have less time than I thought. I only have 90 seconds. David, I tell you what, I'm going to hold both of you over, and we're going to do some extra show here for the insiders and let you guys talk so we're not up against this heavy clock. Real quick, do you want to refute anything that she corrected you on?
Well, her prices for OT3 are way off. It does cost a couple hundred thousand dollars to get to OT3. But I think the most interesting thing she said was that there was a policy change as a result of Lisa McPherson's death, and she implied that Scientologists who suffer psychotic breaks now would be taken to a hospital. I'd just like to ask her, do you really want to put a Scientologist in the hands of the psychs who you view as so evil?
No, hold on, Sandra. We have 45 seconds. I'm sorry to do this to you. 45 seconds to respond to that. Do you even want to respond to that at this point?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I said a hospital. I didn't say a psychiatrist. Somebody who's having a real problem needs a full medical handling to see what's really wrong with them. And that's the new policy. And not only that, but then they get extra help. And that is what is done to help somebody through that sort of situation.
Okay. Can you guys both hang on for a second? We're going to carry on here in just a couple of minutes on the Insider. If you're not an Insider and you want to become one, you can listen to an extra show here at glennbeck.com. If you join now, it's automatic and you'll be able to hear the rest of the show. It will begin that in about 5 minutes. Stand by. Also, Order Fusion 888, Glenn Beck.